Maine's Education Commissioner discusses changes in Maine's public school system. Jim Ryer was sworn in as Commissioner of the Department of Education this past February and arrived to a desk with an overflowing inbox. Just some of the things on his to-do list: Maine's transition to proficiency-based diplomas for high school graduates, the second year of those controversial report cards for Maine schools, adopting the National Common Core standards, more charter schools in Maine, and trying to rework the state's school funding formula. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll sit down with the commissioner and discuss all those issues. How are Maine schools today? How will the changes affect Maine kids, and will they better prepare us for the future? As the school year wraps up, Maine Calling brings in a shiny red apple for Maine's Commissioner of Education. But first, this news update. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. School is almost out for the summer, so now is a good time to look back at the school year and see what's been accomplished, and to look ahead to changes in public education in the coming years. In the studio with me today is Maine's Commissioner of Education, James Ryer. Commissioner Ryer was sworn in as Commissioner of the Maine Department of Education on February 20th of this year. Before being named commissioner, he served as deputy commissioner. Of course, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about public education in Maine? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Commissioner Ryer, welcome to Maine Calling.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
You did not exactly arrive at a time when it would be a sleepy time to be education commissioner, did you?
No, exactly. But it's not as if I didn't know what to expect, because I had been in the department for 10 or 11 years already and was quite familiar with how the department operates.
Well, let's start with the sea change that is coming for Maine public high schools by 2018. So for the kids who are entering ninth grade next year, the entire way schools determine whether or not a student deserves a diploma will change. It's called proficiency-based diplomas. What's the idea behind that, and then how will it work practically?
Well, that's a very good question, and it was enacted by the legislature 2 years ago and has a simple goal, and that is to be sure that when students graduate and get a diploma, that the diploma means something and that, in fact, they have been proficient. In Maine's case, the law is requiring that they be proficient in all 8 content areas of the learning results.
So what are those 8 content areas? Math, I'm sure, in English?
Yes, ELA and math and science, technology.
Health education,
yes. And I wish I had all those.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to stop you.
World languages, for instance,
is another
one. So it's extremely important that we focus the school's attention on those 8 content areas and their readiness to be able to measure and ensure that students are proficient in all those 8 content areas by 2018 graduation.
Does that mean that kids will it be like other countries in Asia and Europe where kids have to take a test to graduate from high school?
No, not quite that way. It's going to be them demonstrating that they've actually learned and are proficient in those 8 content areas. In other words, be certain that they have learned what they need to, rather than just having under current conditions they would have spent time in each class during the grade, and ultimately at the end of the 4 years of high school would have earned enough credits to be able to graduate.
Right, because the current way of doing it is you have to have this many credit hours and this many subjects to graduate from high school. Does that mean credit hours are going to go away, or is it different district by district?
Credit hours will go away once this is fully implemented and in place, and ultimately the 2018 requirement that's in the law also has a provision that allows some waivers to that in. We have just recently tried to look at how we would approach that, because many schools are struggling, or will be by the time they get not only to next fall with the first ninth graders, but also by the time they get to 2018 to be able to carry that out, because schools are in different places in their, how much work they've done and how prepared they are for meeting those requirements in 2018. So we have put in place something that will allow us to look in some more detail about where each school unit is in that continuum of being able to provide proficiency-based diplomas in 2018. And they will be providing information to us soon, and then they will be allowed to have what we are going to refer to as extensions. Waivers sound too much like ending the conversation or not having to arrive at the intent of the law. So we'll be granting extensions. They'll see those available to them, at least if things go forward the way they are intended at this point. There'll be six different categories that they can request waivers, and those will all be, which option they choose will have a lot to do with where they are in the process today and how they expect to be able to accomplish those requirements by 2018.
Could you characterize how many school districts are not going to be ready, or have you heard? Is it many, most, just a few? How many school districts are going to be instituting proficiency-based diplomas by 2018, and how many do you sense? I know the process hasn't begun yet, but how many do you sense will not?
I expect that many, if not most, school districts will need some extension of time to meet those requirements. But part of our challenge is to figure out where school units are, how much progress they've made, because some have been underway for a number of years, some as many as 5 or 6 or 7 years with the whole proficiency-based approach. And even some of those who've been underway for quite some time are still telling me that they're not going to be able to meet that 2018 deadline, but can soon after. So there'll be schools that are in that category where they just need a little bit more time, and there'll be others who are, facing much greater challenges and will need to be able to provide, use the option that allows those who haven't accomplished as much to have more time. But our attention at the department will be designed to understand the challenges that those who are not as far along face and be able to have us help focus our resources and attention on those schools that need more assistance in accomplishing that.
Are there other states that have already moved to proficiency-based diplomas, or are we one of the first to be moving in this direction?
I'm not aware of exactly who. I know there are some other states that have moved in this direction. I don't think there are any, however, that will be carrying out that expectation the same way that Maine will be.
There's no one who has a template we can follow?
No. I think, as with other things in Maine, we are charting the course in Maine's way, and hopefully we'll be very responsive to what Maine schools need and can do to make certain that students graduate proficient in the 8 content areas that we expect them to be.
This is interesting to me, so many questions, but one of the big ones is if proficiency is the goal for a diploma and not credit hours, do you expect that there will be kids graduating early and a lot early? Some kids probably, by the end of 9th grade are, I know of kids who have taken, Algebra 2 by the end of 9th grade and pretty high level foreign language classes.
The proficiency-based approach, I would argue, would allow earlier graduation than maybe 4 years that we expect students to achieve that level of proficiency. However, and I'm not the expert for sure, I would expect there'll be very few who are able to accelerate much sooner than the 4 years, but that's a possibility, as it is those who may take longer than the 4 years. Being able to exit high school sooner than the 4 years that are expected, even someone as old as I am, have experience with that. When I was in high school in Machias many years ago, there was a program offered at the University of Maine at Orono that allowed us to go there and take college classes in the summer and earn college credit. Not anything new today, but it was back then, and there were 30 of us in the state that did that. And about half of those students that did it didn't go back to high school. They entered college that fall because they were deemed to be ready at that point and could perform. So I think the likelihood that students will necessarily be ready or take that option to leave sooner is possible with proficiency-based, but it's a tall order to meet proficiency in all 8 content areas.
And we should mention that MPBN News reporter Jay Field recently did a terrific series on the push for proficiency-based diplomas in Maine, and we've posted a link to his stories on our Facebook page. So I want to get to some of the other topics. The biggest discussion in education nationally, and one that Maine is part of, is this transition to Common Core standards. Explain what Common Core means for schools and how it relates to Maine learning results. The Maine learning results have been in place since 1997. Does Common Core replace Maine learning results? Does it dovetail with them? Or does this mean we have to throw out Maine learning results and adopt Common Core? What does it mean for us?
Well, just a bit of history. As you mentioned, Maine learning results became law in 1997. From work at the State Board of Education, which I was a member of at that time, was very involved in the creation of those standards. Ultimately, they've been updated a number of times since then. In 2011 was the most recent update, and that would have been to include in 2 of the 8 content areas, English Language Arts and Mathematics, the so-called standards that were developed as part of the Common Core effort. So of the 8 content areas, those 2 are standards based upon those requirements that were developed as a part of that work that had been accomplished nationally. Our effort in the department will be to always have Maine standards be the most rigorous they can be. We have an effort we'll have shortly underway to look at Maine standards that relate to ELA and math in particular, to be sure that those standards we put in place in 2011 are appropriate for Maine, and there will be, if changes are recommended, they'll have to go back to the legislature to be included and changed, and those efforts will take place between now and next legislative session. It's important to emphasize that those standards, as they are today in Maine, for ELA and math, contrary to what I read some places, those were went through the whole process in Maine like any rule change would, where those standards were posted. There were public hearings about them. The legislature ultimately approved them in 2011. So I just wanted to emphasize that it isn't as if those were developed in a vacuum and included in Maine learning results in a way that didn't receive public input and reaction, even though some would argue there wasn't a lot of it that occurred. I think one effort, one result of the attention being paid here is that there will be a lot more folks paying attention to any changes that are recommended for the standards.
So really, Common Core can be incorporated into the natural changes that have been taking place within the Maine learning results since 1997. It's been regularly updated, reassessed, and just taking Common Core as really a tool to reassess it again and make sure we meet the national standards, not a revamping of the way we teach our kids.
I don't believe so. It's really important to remember that these are standards. They're not curriculum. They're not methods of teaching. Those are all things that occur locally at each individual school system that implements those components. Simply put, the Maine standards and Maine learning results are what students should know and be able to do by each grade level, and ultimately not the methodology as to how they'll be taught to do that, but they are what each student needs to know and be able to do at each of those grade levels completion.
It does seem as though there's a lot of variety within the curriculum and the changes being made for Common Core. A friend who is a teacher in South Portland tells me that they're shifting in the South Portland schools, for middle school at least, from grades to assessments of students and in reaction to Common Core. I know that in Cape Elizabeth, kids are going to be expected to have algebra by 8th grade, and the reasoning being the Common Core standard. So school districts are shifting curriculums in the way they do things, but doing it differently from school district to school district, yes?
That's correct. Again, the focus should be on standards. I suspect there would have been debate for years as to whether algebra gets offered in 8th grade or not. Some schools have been doing that for years. Others may not have. But ultimately, the important thing is to be measuring those curriculum decisions against the standards and be sure that students are able to achieve what they're required to by each of the grade levels.
Are you concerned with a sort of test-based culture for students, that so much is teaching now, teaching for the test, and it seems to only be headed more and more that direction than less and less?
I think we all should be concerned about excessive testing. But on the other hand, I think we need to be conscious and try to be very effective with when those test points take place and how they're administered and so forth, because some of those are local decisions as well. There are required tests but that the state requires, and the federal requirements also require tests. But ultimately, one of the decisions we're making going forward is how we assess students in relation to the standards-based approach that we will have, that is in place now and will ultimately be over time. And the method of testing is going to change. We hope to be much more attentive to how students are learning, how teachers can respond and react to something other than a pencil paper test where students just check boxes. And we try to measure what they have or haven't learned by that process. The new testing that will begin in Maine in the spring of 2015 will be much more computer-based and much more capable of understanding how a student arrived at an answer, or in helping teachers understand those components of their learning so they can react much more quickly to the corrective action.
Great. Well, if you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number 1-800-399-3566 or email talk@mpbn.net. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. Stay with us. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Choral Arts Society's Summer Sing. Come sing the Brahms Requiem at Woodford's Congregational Church on June 23rd. More at choralart.org. And Maine's public universities. When you think about your future, think Maine. Learn more at think.maine.edu.
Iraq, it seems, is still broken. Does the U.S. still own its problems?
Our troops and the American taxpayers made huge investments and sacrifices in order to give Iraqis the opportunity to chart a better course.
President Obama trying to avoid a destiny of more sectarian violence. Next time on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
You can tune in for The Takeaway tonight at midnight here on MPBN Radio. MPBN is a media sponsor for Maine Fair 2014, co-hosted by Maine Farmland Trust and Penobscot East Resource Center. This year's event on the waterfront in downtown Belfast this Friday and Saturday, June 20th and 21st, includes tastings, tours, classes, dinners, and more, featuring Maine foods and farms, culture, and natural history. General admission is free, but for ticketed events, MPBN members are entitled to a 15% discount. For information about Maine Fair 2014 and how to purchase your member discount tickets, please visit mpbn.net and click on Events.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we have Jim Ryer with us in the studio. He's Maine's Education Commissioner. We invite you to join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mpbn.net. You can tweet at Maine Calling or put a post on our Facebook page. We're going to start with Ed from York. Hi, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what's the best way for communities to review the completion or the status of the flexibility waiver that Maine has put in? How can we see what status that we're in and how close we are to coming in compliance with No Child Left Behind?
Okay, I thought you were talking about the extensions we are providing for schools around proficiency-based education, but the ESEA waivers that Maine has been granted, there's a lot of information on the Department of Education website that might help you, which would have identified those schools who are given particular priorities around meeting the requirements that are identified in the ESEA waiver that took place a year or two ago. And schools are making progress in implementing, but those are a relatively short list of schools, as far as I'm concerned, compared with the concerns we have with implementing standards and proficiency in all Maine schools by the 2018 deadline.
Jim, is we don't hear much about No Child Left Behind anymore. Are we still bound by standards from that law?
Oh, yes, we certainly are. And ultimately, the federal funds that we receive are bound by meeting those requirements. It's why we would have, many would have seen those ESEA requirements as not necessarily appropriate or attentive to those things we need to do in Maine, and that we were granted a waiver from the initial requirements in order to accomplish things differently in Maine, and would have proposed changes to how we implement those ESEA requirements in the schools that are subject to them.
So Common Core standards coming from the federal government are in addition to what's already in place. It doesn't replace it. It's more.
Two different subjects, as far as I'm concerned, altogether. The Common Core, I would argue strongly, didn't come from the feds. Those were standards that we were part of developing. There will be, I'm sure, many different interpretations of how those standards were arrived at, known as Common Core in ELA and math. But ultimately, we would have had many educators in Maine participate in the process to, again, update the Maine Learning Results standards, if you will, in 2011 when that occurred. So the ESEA waiver is responding to the requirements that the federal government has in schools they identify as needing additional work, help to improve their performance.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Ed. We didn't get to in the first part of the show talking about the state's school report cards. The second version of those came out just about a month ago. What have we learned from the school report cards and the difference between last year and this year?
Well, I think a major effort on our part was to continue the focus on identifying schools that we could argue need improvement and some of those that are doing very well. I think part of our purpose this year ultimately was to not change the way we calculated the grades, but to maybe provide more information as part of the grading process. And also it provided an opportunity for us, me in particular, to visit schools that had shown improvements and try to understand from their perspective how those improvements were happening and have us be able to hopefully share those methods of improvements with other schools who were challenged by some of those grade levels. But I would keep emphasizing the purpose of the grade isn't to identify and assume in any way that those grades are a final assessment of how well those schools are doing. It's meant to draw attention to at least those areas that we are measuring in school performance, and especially in lower performing students' performance, what I would call the bottom 25% of performers in school, so that we could draw attention to, and this year some of those grades improved because there was more attention given to what we might consider to be struggling students in the lower 25%.
Going to Stephen in Sanford. Hi, Stephen. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. My name is Steve Smith. I'm here in Sanford. I've had three children go through the school systems. My wife teaches. She's an ed tech in one of the schools now. It's a hot topic in our household all the time. I've done it. I've done substitute teaching myself. I'm listening to the proficiency situation, and I realized right away that one of the concerns I have is just the continuing increase in dropout rate that this is actually going to create, not the other way around. And I think the person from the state is talking about, you know, not being a big difference. I think it's underestimating that you're going to have some students who are going to be out of school at a very young age who can proficiency out, and you're going to have others that never will. I'm not sure. I just would like him to address this particular issue having to do with the dropout.
Yeah, that's a good question. If school's mm-hmm. tougher, are we going to see more kids dropping out, giving up on it?
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't want to have characterized anything I've said up till now that would indicate that this isn't much of a change. I would argue it's a dramatic change that school systems face, and there are still many unanswered questions, some of which you're drawing attention to here, that if, for instance, in 2018 or 19, if that's the case, we have to have students proficient in eight content areas to receive a diploma, the challenge will be what happens with the students who cannot achieve that proficiency by that point in time. And I agree, it could be an encouragement for some to drop out. We need to be preparing over these next few years to make sure that doesn't happen and to be absolutely certain that those students who don't achieve a proficiency diploma do have credentials that are going to help them in post-secondary workplace. And these are all challenges that I think not only the department, obviously, but the local school districts and Maine in general are going to have to address significantly over the next few years. I believe that's one of the biggest challenges we have in education going forward.
All right, Stephen, thank you so much for calling in. Going to Elizabeth in Hollis. Hi, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Commissioner. My question is concerning a statement you made previously about the testing that's going to be in place in 2015. Mm-hmm. I believe you said something about the computer will be able to determine the thinking behind the student in solving the test. And I'm wondering, my question is two-part. How will a computer do it better than a teacher observing a student solving a problem? And number two, will there be adequate resources, the i.e. computers in all schools, so this testing can take place across the board?
That's correct. I wanted to clarify something I said. I did not mean to insinuate that computers would be determining how students are thinking. It very much would be providing more information to teachers who are going to evaluate the test and decide, you know, where they may need to focus more attention on particular students and how they're learning. And the presumption is going forward, and part of our experience this past spring in the month of May was to have field tests done with this approach in schools who chose to do it to measure how successful that approach would be, how students adjusted to taking tests on computers provided to them for that purpose. And there were about 28,000 students in Maine who took that field test from that new approach that will be finally implemented in the spring of 2015. So I think we have a lot of challenges in this area as well going forward as to how we would implement that in the spring. Ultimately, there will likely still be the possibility in some schools who may elect to do paper-pencil test instead of a computerized approach. But what we are learning so far in those field tests are there will be significant, I believe, interest in being able to have computer-based tests because they're going to be helpful not just for offering the test but for informing teaching and learning as those test results are released to the schools.
Elizabeth, thank you for calling in. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number 1-800-399-3566. You can also send an email to talk@mpbn.net. If you like to tweet, we're @MaineCalling, or you can post to our Facebook page. Headed to Jay in Sanford. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling because I'm a teacher in Southern Maine, and we have been involved considerably in proficiency-based education. And although there are a lot of reasons that I may not completely agree with going down that road, my biggest concern is the implementation of the Smarter Balance Test, which it appears wasn't vetted all that well for the merits of the exam, but was probably done primarily for the reduced cost. So I guess I'd like to hear the commissioner's reasons for implementing such an exam that has no track record, that is extremely difficult with respect to the current curriculums that are in place across most of Maine, and how they plan on supporting that exam or whether or not it's a long-term trial.
Now, is the Smarter Balance exam the one you've been referring to?
Correct. And just to give you a little bit of background, I would first of all not agree that this Smarter Balance approach was done to save money. Ultimately, I believe strongly that it was done to be able to provide a better testing environment and be able to help teachers and students learn more about how they could improve. It will be a change, and many are concerned about it. I think that we will have gained a lot from the field test that we took earlier this spring in understanding how students will adjust and adapt to questions, but I don't believe that there were dramatic, dramatic problems from students' perspective or from administrators. The purpose in that field test was to understand both aspects of what you're talking about. I hope that in the end, this testing approach, which was in development for a number of years, will lead to a better methodology for assessing students' progress and providing timely feedback to teachers and administrators.
All right, Jay, thanks so much for calling. I know one of the things, Commissioner, you're working on is helping the legislature figure out a way to change Maine's school funding formula, which is the way the state reallocates tax dollars to education in each community, to the schools in each community. In your view, what's wrong with the school funding formula now? How does it need to be changed sort of conceptually?
I guess I would be the last person to ask the question, what's wrong with it now, because I have been working with it for 11 or 12 years. I guess if I had to focus on something that needs to happen, and it will be based on the legislature's work this last session, is there are a lot of updates to the funding formula that we've not done over the last 10 years since it's been implemented. The idea behind the law in 2005 when it was enacted was to do periodic updates that would reflect changes and conditions and so forth that would help the funding formula respond to in more equitably to conditions that exist both with students and the learning and also the ability of local communities to foot their share of the cost of education. The legislature enacted a resolve this last session that will put some aggressive work in place to look at and report back to them to the legislature in January, and there were very specific assignments given to a group of folks, a commission that was established to do that. We will be working actively with them from the department's point of view to provide some of the research they may need to have in place that will look at not only researching aspects of the formula again that determine how cost components are established for each school, but also to make recommendations to the legislature as how, if any, updates need to be made to the funding formula that's currently in place.
So it's not an overall philosophical, it's not like what New Hampshire has gone through over the past few years, feeling as though certain towns are being dramatically unfairly cheated and others are getting the sow's purse. It's really that you just really need to look at the nuts and bolts of the formula itself and make sure it continues to do what it's supposed to do.
I believe so. I think Maine has a very comprehensive funding formula in place. It's more than just had been prior to that, where we take spending that each community or school unit would have reported to us and try to craft subsidy support for that based on their spending. It creates a very comprehensive model for each school unit that is responsive to the individual student needs in that particular unit, even geographically where it's located, and tries to craft, based on those requirements, a cost of education. That's what's known as the Essential Programs and Services Funding Model. And that is, again, regardless of whether you're a rich community or a poor one, is generating a cost of education for every unit. The funding formula then decides how much the state should contribute or participate in that amount that's been developed. So it needs an update.
All right. Well, we're going to take another short break. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. When we return, we'll have more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible. As do Vineyard Brands, hosting the film A Year in Burgundy, June 30th at the Nickelodeon Theater, Portland. Tickets available at Old Port Wine Merchants, Portland. The Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, statewide practice, local service, with offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland. And Baxter Brewing Company in Lewiston, presenting the inaugural Great Falls Brewfest, June 21st in Lewiston. GreatFallsBrewFest.com.
In your statement, you said that you came home and found your wife, that she was already dead?
Downstairs, yeah.
That's Deputy Sheriff Molly Salverson interviewing a suspect in the new FX series Fargo, based on the popular Coen Brothers film. On the next Fresh Air, we meet series creator and writer Noah Hawley and Allison Tolman, who plays the deputy. Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 here on MPBN Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Education Commissioner Jim Ryer. We invite you to join the conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Going to an email here, the emailer asks, would you mind asking how the new standards and evaluations are likely to affect the competitiveness of Maine high school students applying to highly competitive colleges and universities? How will top students distinguish themselves academically other than tests such as SATs that are being used less frequently?
Good question. I think that I don't know that we know the complete answer to that question at this point in time, because ultimately the change in the methodology that we will use in testing students will be applicable grades 3 through 8. We will have also interim informative tests happening grade 9 and 10, and then grade 11 will be the assessment that we're required to make. That has been, in Maine's case, since 2006 or 7, has been the SAT that has been offered and provided to students, which serves both as a testing methodology for Maine to meet those requirements as well as a college entry predictor of college success. We still have to be mindful about how we look at that. The department and the state hasn't decided yet whether we may still need something like SAT or college entry exam in addition to what we provide at grade 11 with what we now would refer to as the smarter balanced approach to assessment. We need to be careful how we take those into account, and ultimately part of that's going to be a very strong relationship and strong interaction with post-secondary schools to see what they will value as a positive, as what they will value as being the way they would use to measure a student's success at the college level. Because we believe that they have been working with the smarter balanced approach, and in some states that will be probably what they use, but I'm not convinced yet that we know what that needs to be, and we're going to be very interested in what post-secondary schools will and won't use to determine that, because as the emailer insinuates, colleges are looking at a number of things as to predict student success. SAT or ACT is another test that's offered. While they still, I think, rely to some extent in some schools to a greater extent on that test, it isn't necessarily the best predictor of success at the college level.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know that colleges look at the rigor of high schools when they're choosing their students, especially the top colleges and universities. Is it your hope that Maine in general will be viewed by colleges and university as a state that has rigorous high school, rigorous standards? Therefore, any kid coming from, any top student from any high school in Maine is going to be a good candidate.
I think that's exactly right. It has to be something that colleges and other post-secondary opportunities will look at, because it is a very deliberate means of increasing the rigor of what students learn and are able to do in high schools in Maine and what they're needing to accomplish by the time they graduate. All those, I'm sure, become a factor in how colleges and other post-secondary opportunities will look at the value of that diploma or other graduation credentials that a student may have.
And grades aren't going to go away. High school students will still get grades under proficiency-based diplomas, correct?
Well, I just would argue that the ABCDEF grade approach is not part of what proficiency-based is. Ultimately, you'll be determined to be proficient when you complete the requirements of each of those.
So you won't get an A or a B or a C. It's a check or an X.
No, it'll be a measure of whether you've met the performance levels of that class or not. So some would argue it may be a 2, 3, or 4, for instance, but there will still be a measure of meeting those proficiency requirements by the time you complete that class. It may not have been in sophomore year of high school, for instance.
So the emailer is really asking, how will colleges know what each high school standards even mean compared to kids in other states?
Well, I hope not, because they ultimately will know that when a child graduates proficient in Algebra 2, for instance, that they will have achieved something, not necessarily by a certain grade, but they will have achieved what's needed to be proficient in that particular category. And hopefully they will see that as more important than just achieving a grade in that class in a certain, you know, in a certain high school.
Going to Lori in South Portland. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi. I want to talk about the main funding formula for schools. It's my understanding that schools are, the state of Maine is given an allocation from the federal government based on free and reduced lunches. Is that true?
That's true for the federal funds that flow to schools. It's not true as it relates directly to how Maine funding law works, and ultimately the state provides funding to individual school units. So even though in the EPS, Essential Programs and Services funding model, schools who have higher percentages of students who are eligible for free and reduced lunch, Maine's formula builds in additional funds to support those students. That's not federal dollars, it's state dollars that support that.
And that's called Title I, is that correct?
No, Title I is the federal money that's flowing to schools who have been, the federal government provides the amount of Title I funds that will flow to the state of Maine and its schools, and then ultimately there will be a federal formula that decides how much of those Title I funds flow to each individual school unit. That will be separate from anything to do with Maine's funding law.
Okay, because it was my understanding from an earlier radio program that when the state of Maine gets their federal allocation, then they take that same amount of money off the top of the state budget, so that that's coming from the federal government. So the money that the federal government is not in addition to the state money.
That is a characterization by some. I wouldn't agree at all with it. The federal money still flows to schools. There is there are those, and that's, I mean, part of the assignment we have from the Education Committee and to report back next session will be to look at that particular aspect, because I don't, while there are some who characterize what you just said, I don't agree with it at all.
All right, Lori, thanks for calling in with your questions. Headed to David in Portland. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi there. I've been listening. I don't know if I missed this topic already or not. It seems pretty important to me. Title I, I used to teach what they called Title I, which was an all-day kindergarten program for reading recovery. That's probably changed names like everything else. But and I've had a lot of experience in schools. I've got a degree in education, and I've tried to use it many times and make a living. Which is very difficult, oddly enough. My most recent experience was a grant project I did at a local alternative education high school here in Portland. And my whole question basically is that, you know, with the inefficient pay scale of educators, you know, starting out, I believe last time I heard it was 22 to 25 max for a starting in Maine at a certain level, with just a bachelor's, what have you. Is any of that going to be addressed with this new system, with outcomes being based on proficiency and efficiency? It just seems as though we should get some people who are a little better, maybe at a master's level, who would be willing, or at least a bachelor who's being paid, bachelors who's being paid, you know, well enough to survive and not have to worry about putting food on the table when they should be grading papers.
Yeah, so do the new conversations and the new initiatives address teacher salaries?
No, not directly. I mean, those are, again, local decisions that are made. I just would point out that since about 2007, the state of Maine requires that the minimum salary for any bachelor's degree teacher is $30,000. So that has been in place for some time. I'm not saying that is an appropriate answer to what you stated. I just want to be sure that you knew that ultimately the state requires the minimum salary to be $30,000 and have done that since 2007. I think that this continues to be a question that we do support in the funding formula, salaries that are ultimately generated differently depending on where in the state of Maine the school unit happens to be located, but I think it will be a goal to help improve, and not only improve the salary, but improve the the effectiveness of teachers, because obviously they are the most important reason that we will achieve those proficiencies that we're trying to.
David, thanks so much for your call. Commissioner Ryer, I know that several RSUs, regional school units that were recently formed in the last 5 years in Maine, are not happy, and some are dissolving and some are changing. How many is this happening with? How many RSUs will be different come fall?
Well, I guess I would, first of all, clarify, none of them are dissolving. There's nothing in the law that allows that to happen. What's been happening over the last couple of years are something we know to be individual municipalities deciding to withdraw from what they would have joined either in the last 5 years or in the last 50 years as what were known as school administrative districts. It's important to know that in Maine there are about 75 of these multi-town units, SADs before, now RSUs. And there are 354 member municipalities of those 75 multi-town units. And out of that mix, there have been about 10 or 12 municipalities have been successful in withdrawing and removing themselves from those multi-town units that they belong to. About half of those removed themselves from old SADs that had been in place for most of them since the mid-60s. So I guess as much as that is a topic in the media, and there's always been unhappiness to some degree with some municipal units of multi-town school administrative units, I think that's something that has been focused significantly on the last year or two, and it remains to be seen how those units that were successful in withdrawing from either newly formed or old school units from back in the 60s, how well that withdrawal and them operating on their own, especially some of the smaller units, how successful they'll be in doing that, and whether in fact they achieve what they were trying to by withdrawing.
Is the encouragement, are there still enticements for schools to join together into RSUs, or is that kind of over? Are we moving forward?
Well, the enticements are over. Ultimately, the law still would allow units to join, and that has been happening. Some of those withdrawals that I just talked about were cases where municipalities withdrew from one unit and joined another.
Joined somebody else, yeah.
And didn't just remain on their own. Frankfort up in the Belfast area withdrew from RSU 20 and joined RSU 22. Starks over in the withdrew from SAD 59 and joined RSU 9, which is in Farmington. The others, however, are in some cases very small units withdrawing and operating on their own.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today for Maine Calling. James Ryer sworn in as Commissioner of the Maine Department of Education in February of this year. Today's program was produced by our volunteer Cindy Hahn and Jonathan Smith. Sam Moran answered your calls. Nikki Shields ran the board. We had additional help from the MPBN web team. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our podcast by visiting mpbn.net/MaineCalling. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Tomorrow on the program, recruiting and retaining physicians in Maine. Join me for a conversation about a unique program designed to bring doctors to Maine and keep them here. And don't forget, you've got 10 days to read this month's Maine Calling Book Club selection, Orphan Train by Christina Baker Klein. We will discuss Orphan Train on June 26th. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.